Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
the award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Hey, you. Yeah, you, on the job site. Did you know that a big portion of people who listen to Joy at work, just like you? Right now, times are very tough financially, and without your support, Joy may not be around to help you through your work day. So tell your workmates, your next-door neighbour, and even your mum to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
This is Saturday Magazine.
And you are listening to Saturday Magazine with Macca and Tass. Good morning, Macca.
Good morning again.
And I think we're going to actually have a chat with Paul as well. But Paul's in the process of setting up the buttons, Macca. So, we're not doing your usual opinion piece this week. We are going to have a debate.
Which I have to say is a bit sad because I think, and we mentioned this last week, Tass, the last two op-eds that Macca has done have been extremely well-researched and scripted, and it actually, I think, has probably been one of the best things you've done. Last week's was particularly good, but the last couple, I think, have been very well-researched.
It's called preparation. I think it actually helps sometimes. Well, so, Macca?
Well, I have done a little bit of preparation for this, so I wanted to... What the three of us, and we've spoken about this off-air, is political correctness. But I wanted to, and I covered it before nine in speaking with Paul and Dylan, where political correctness came from. Now, basically, in Stalinist Russia, it was used to refer to someone whose loyalty to the Stalinist Communist Party line overrode anything, you know, if you were granted as not politically correct if you didn't follow the Stalinist line. Perhaps you might have agreed, believed in egalitarian moral ideas as opposed to dogmatic ideas that weren't able to be changed. And as Marxist-Leninist movements gained political power, it was used in all of those left-wing dictatorships, but also, you know, right-wing dictatorships. You know, so, for example, in the 30s, in Nazi Germany, you would only be granted a permit to be a reporter for the media if you were pure Aryan whose opinions were politically correct. And who decided who was politically correct?
Well, the state, Macca?
The state. So there was no distinction between left and right in this. What they both have in common is authoritarianism and the practice of sending dissenting voices and views off on a state-sponsored holiday in a camp. So political correctness came from there. Where we're at now, for example, we have the situation John Cleese. There's a Fawlty Towers episode. No.
Before you actually start exemplifying it, tell us what it means today.
Okay, what it means today...
What does political correctness mean today?
Well, I think it means a lot of different things to different people, and it depends where you yourself sit, what you regard as correct. And I'd like us to actually... I don't like the term politically correct because it shouldn't be about politics. It actually should be about respect. And when you talk politically correct, too often people get into political situations on their views. So what it means to me is, what do I regard as reasonable, responsible discourse and opinion? And that, for me, the starting point of that has to be respect. Do you respect the other person's race, their sexuality?
So are you saying that political correctness to you means respectful discourse?
Yes. And respect for different... Can I just give really quickly, sorry.
Don't give us an example, because I'm interested in Paul's views on this as well. Paul, what's your understanding of what political correctness means?
So I'm fascinated by the history, because I think the history tells us it's about controlling messaging and controlling what people should or shouldn't say, whereas it's morphed quite consistently over the last sort of 3 decades, through the left, through the right, to now actually form a course of expression that actually is used to say something to someone who perhaps you know may cause offence. And I think the issue at the moment with... We wouldn't need the term political correctness if people didn't say things that were genuinely wrong. And therefore, the term has now been coined to try and, I believe, to try and identify stuff where people are sort of going around the fringes of what is acceptable and not acceptable in speech.
I think that the term political correctness has actually been captured by a faction of our community who don't like to be called to account for bad behaviour. And in fact, the term political correctness has become a bit of a nasty term almost. Yeah. It's like, you know, I've heard people say, oh, stop being politically correct. Well, what does that mean? What are they actually saying? Are they telling me to, if I take Macca's definition, to stop having a respectful conversation with somebody?
Mm.
Or, as you've said, are they putting me down for actually offending them? So what does it mean? I think that's the bit that I'm actually still struggling with.
You know, if we were all, if you know, we picked out 100 people completely at random, but representative of every race, every gender, every sexuality, every religious belief, and we put them in a room, a big room, and we turned the light off, so it was pitch dark, and none of them knew each other, no one in that room would know who the person they were speaking to, whether, you know, what their, you know, what their preconceived ideas might be about them based on their race, based on their gender, based on their religious belief. So this is something that we manufacture. This is something that that has informed, you know, we've been informed over the years by our experiences. And I just would briefly want to say is when we tear down statues, for example, you know, we're applying a situation where we want to reshape how that statue is perceived, that statue was put up in 1870 or whatever. We want it to conform to contemporary moral standards. Now, throwing the statue in the river, some people will agree with that. Others will say the statue should stay. Some others will say, well, the statue needs to be kept, but perhaps put it in a museum with a description about what it's about, why people, you know, perhaps they need to understand it. I'm not an advocate, absolutely, of pulling statues down, but I am an advocate of people understanding. How many times do people walk past a statue in Melbourne or Sydney or New York or wherever, and they don't actually know what that that person represents?
Mm. Happens all the time,
maybe. Yeah, yeah.
But let's go back to the political correctness, because I think it's often used as a mask. You know,
yes.
If someone wants to say something offensive to someone...
I'm not being politically correct.
And I'm not being allowed to do that because they're just telling me I've got to be politically correct. And it's been used by, you know, some people in shock jock positions up in Sydney on numerous occasions to say, I'm not allowed to do that. Now, on Q&A last Monday,
yes,
there was a phenomenal...
There was.
A phenomenal and powerful monologue by Mean Wyatt,
yeah,
who actually went through and identified some of those things that we would deem to be politically correct in terms of how people are treated in Australia, that really cut to the core. The fact that what people say to someone's face and what they say not to their face, and how that has an impact on people. And I think we wouldn't need the term politically correctness if people, in your view, Macca, were honest and respectful and in their dialogue with others. It just wouldn't need to be around.
Erasing history does nothing for the future. We need to learn from history and understand why what was done then, whilst it might have been relevant or accepted at the times, it is no longer accepted. But erasing it doesn't actually help us become a better community. We need to understand and learn from it.
So, Maka, there's been a bit of debate in the press about removing certain movies and TV shows from places like Netflix, for example. And I know the BBC has actually removed Fawlty Towers.
Let me ask you, Tess, remember Are You Being Served?
I do remember Are You Being Served.
Okay, so John Inman, who played Mr. Humphreys, who played a stereotypical gay man, and Mrs. Slocum, who always made jokes about going home to pat her pussy, right? Should that show be removed because it vilifies gay men of a particular way of behaving? You know, this is, you know, should Gone with the Wind not be available?
Can I respond to
that? Yes, please.
And my response to that is, I don't care whether it's removed or not. It occurred. It occurred at a particular point in time. Did I enjoy it? No. As a young person coming out, if that was my role model, that was actually quite cringeworthy and very disrespectful of me and the person that I am. So I actually don't care whether it's removed or not. What I do care about, though, is the conversation.
Yeah.
That's the bit that I do care about. And actually having a conversation about what images like that mean for us in the modern world and their acceptability in the modern world. So from my point of view, whether Gone with the Wind's there or not, I don't really care. What I do know is that it did occur, and I want to talk about it, and I want to talk about the appropriateness of the values that that actually represented, which are no longer acceptable in 2020 in the world in which we live.
I ask a question of both of you. Who decides, and how do they decide, and should they be allowed to decide, whether that movie or that television series or that book is still out in the public domain? Who decides?
Maka, I've thought about that as well. And my view is, during the marriage, so this is a completely different context, during the marriage equality debate, we looked towards our corporate leaders,
yes,
our community leaders and our political leaders to make statements of support for what we thought was an appropriate thing at this point in time. So there's going to be a whole lot of corporates out there who are going to start to review their own histories, their own bag of tricks, and make decisions about how they want to be perceived and what messages they want to send to the community. So if the BBC decides to remove a whole lot of stuff from the airwaves, I think that's okay. I think it's okay because to me it says they've thought about us and they've thought about the environment and the context in which we are currently living, and they're saying this no longer represents the people who we are today. Mm. So I think that's okay.
And I think you're right. I think, you know, all broadcasters are governed by a series of codes in terms of what can go to air. There's a whole bunch of regulatory releases set against different movies and films. And there are very clear guidelines. And it's right, I agree with you, Tass, it's right that those guidelines are reviewed and changed and updated to reflect the times. And if we suddenly think that the ratings that we need to apply to different programs now is different than it was yesterday, well, then that's great. That's progress.
The world's changed. The world's changed. I used to once upon a time describe myself as a wog poofter. Well, it's actually not appropriate to use language like that anymore. Mm. It really isn't. And for me to use that sort of language now would be derogatory to not only myself but also to my community. So I think our values have changed as a society.
And you know, as a newbie to Australia, when I came in a few years ago, the use of the term wog, because it was used to describe some plays, some, I saw some things at the theatre and people were describing their own shows with that term, was abhorrent to me. Is that it was deemed to be highly derogatory when I left Europe and came over here, and to still see that term in use, and yet maybe the community had embraced it and owned it themselves, was just like, was taking a step back in time. And that's a great example whereby what was right yesterday isn't necessarily right today, and we'll look back on today in another 10 years' time thinking, why didn't we act quicker and sooner to actually change the
things? And I don't want to see history erased, but what I do want to see is members of our society, corporates, community leaders, actually thinking about what is appropriate in this context. Hey, by the way, our switchboard has just gone absolutely feral. This topic has hit a nerve with a lot of our listeners, actually. We're not going to be able to get through all of those messages, but it's really good to hear that, or perhaps maybe the internet's working again. I'm not quite sure what's happened, but there are lots of messages there. I just want to acknowledge those, and it's great to see that this conversation is actually striking a chord with a lot of our listeners.
And I think, you know, I close on this point. I don't believe in totally erasing history. I believe that we need to face up to our history, and our history needs to inform what we do now and what we do in the future. But simply by burying it, by taking a film off or by taking down a statue without an adequate explanation as to what it represented and how that can inform us for the future is just as dangerous. It's a dangerous, same form of censorship that were practiced by dictatorships, authoritarian regimes of both the left and the right. And I don't want that. I don't like authoritarianism. I like democracy. Look at the definition of democracy and look at the definition of respect. They're good bedfellows.
I think you're right, Macca. And what I would say just in a concluding comment is that the fact that we're talking about this is in itself a very good thing. The fact that actually people are thinking about what are the symbols, what are the bits of history that we want to showcase and we want to celebrate, I think is a good thing. There is no right or wrong in this. I think it's just good to think about it and talk about it. Thank you, Macca, for initiating that discussion. Well,
just
we'll
one
continue
last,
this.
One last thing. I think, yeah, maybe we should think in another month's time or so. Is there a couple of different perspectives on what that means and actually have a debate on air with two guests to give us differing views in terms of how that could be interpreted based on the messages we've been getting back.
And thank you for the message from a listener about the Black Lives Matter protest in Darwin. With the comment, it is an extremely emotional and traumatic for many people there. Thank you for sending us that picture and sharing it with us. You are on Saturday Magazine, Macca and Tass.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.